Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Rachel Allen. Rachel provides data-driven, human-centered marketing for good people doing hard work that matters. Find out more at boltfromthebluecopywriting.com. Rachel, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting things done that most people wouldn't think of.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. So I run what is functionally four businesses, and people ask me this a lot, like, do you just not sleep? And I'm like, no, actually, what I do is I do much less, but what I do really, really matters. So even though I am running all of these things, even though I have all of this stuff happening all the time, I am so relentless about whittling down the things in my life, the tasks in my life that I don't genuinely care about and that don't genuinely matter. So that means I spend, a lot of my time doing work stuff, which I love, but I also just don't waste time on things that maybe people think like, oh, well, you like should do this, or it's a good thing to go out and do happy hours and hobbies and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I absolutely do those, but only when they are truly fulfilling to me.
Not when you're just following this pre-written pattern. That's the
Right.
thing. That's the thing I really notice is we tend to do things because we've just always done them. It's
Yeah.
just, I don't know.
And everybody else
Totally.
around you does them. And it's, I don't know, something I talk a lot about with people I call my fellow internet dinosaurs is I see a lot of people have focus on performing the appearance of work as opposed to actually working and getting outputs. And I'm like, it's all about the outputs, man. As long as I'm getting the outputs done, I don't need to sit at my desk and like pretend like I'm getting more things done.
And it's funny you mentioned that I have a project I'm working with a client, and the client came with like other vendors that do like similar but not the same things.
Yeah.
And we're just constantly butting heads because we're trying to like launch a campaign and get results. And these guys are like, well, we're gonna have to go and like talk it out. Am I gonna have to check with my developer? And I'm like, this is all language for you avoiding taking any kind
Right.
of action. Like, what do you need to get it done?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, I have clients who, bless their hearts, they have this sort of company culture where they cannot do anything unless they get consensus from the entire team. And I'm like, here's the thing. I'm going to go do this. And if you have a problem, you can fight me on that. And shockingly, so much more gets done.
That reminds me, this is going to sound like it's totally out of left field,
Yeah.
but I promise it's sort of at least a little related. So I had a friend, his name's Adam, Adam Lyons, and he made a career in the early 2000s as a kind of a pickup artist.
Yeah.
And I think he's still doing that, like he's still really well known for that. And one of the things that I remember I was hanging out with him, I'm in Colombia right now. And ironically, I was in Colombia hanging out with Adam. And he was, teaching some people about, ladies and picking up ladies. And one of the things that he said that stuck out to me was, if you want to avoid the awkward, position of like, if you're gonna, like, if you can kiss the girl or not,
Yeah.
just tell her your intentions. Like, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and kiss you now. And if you got a problem with that, just let me know beforehand so it doesn't get awkward.
Right.
And he was like, that works like 90% of the time. And it's like sometimes you just like, hey, I'm gonna go do this. You got a problem, let me know, but somebody's got to do something here.
Right, exactly. And I am perfectly willing to like take responsibility for the consequences of that either way. But I think that's what it comes down to a lot of times. You mentioned like avoidance. I think people are so afraid of having something go wrong, or maybe they're doing the wrong thing. So they just sort of like do something else that they know is kind of useful, but not the most useful. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to take the biggest swing I can. And if I'm wrong, you know what? I'll fix that too.
Yeah, and it's a good segue into a topic that you shared in the pre-show that I mean just really stopped the scroll for me, which is you're talking about we tend to do a lot of work to avoid doing a little work,
Oh, yeah.
and I want to dive into that because number one, I'm guilty of it. Number two, my entire team is guilty of it, and my clients and everybody else, we're all guilty of this. So first of all, what does it mean? Like, we're doing a lot of work to avoid a little work. Let's define that, and then let's figure out why we do it so that we can figure out how to overcome it.
So I think what I see people doing is that there's something that like maybe it's a little big, or maybe it's a little uncomfortable, or maybe it's just kind of boring. And so instead of doing that thing, even though that is the thing that will move the needle, they're like, well, I mean, like, but what if we like optimized our process around this thing? Or what if I built the perfect Notion database for this thing? Or what if I learned more about it, you know? And so the drive to do the work is there, but for whatever reason, there's some sort of like barrier to doing the actual thing. And so that gets diverted into what is essentially an exercise in burning off energy, and you don't end up doing the real thing.
But you burn some energy.
Right, exactly. You probably feel a little better. I mean, it feels much better than just sitting at your desk being like, okay, I got to do the thing, and I'm going to do it now.
Now I gotta do something.
Right, exactly. Like I might as well. It's the equivalent of like cleaning your baseboards instead of writing, you know? That's like a classic thing within the writing community. Like everybody's fridge is immaculate right before that last draft is done.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when we have the ten. So that's what it is,
Yeah.
and. So why do we do it? And typically it comes down to for me, I try to kind of be a student of psychology and biology.
Yeah.
And if you really want to understand human behavior, you have to first understand how we're chemically wired, you know, with hormones.
Yep.
And then secondly, you have to understand how our brains are constantly in conservation mode. And so I'll lay out a little theory here, and I'd love to have you kind of pile on top of it or discount it if you want. But you know, a theory for me is why we exercise. It all comes down to avoidance behavior.
Yeah.
Why do we exercise avoidance behavior? And a lot of times it's because the discomfort of confronting the thing that we're supposed to be doing will cost us too much energy to manage
Yeah.
internally. And so rather than managing that energy or expending the energy to manage the discomfort, we just avoid the discomfort to conserve energy. And that's like, it's like this, you know, lizard brain wiring where it's like,
Oh, yeah.
do we really need to be like, we got precious resources here, man. Like, we can't be spending energy on like getting uncomfortable. We got to stay over here in the dark where it's nice and safe.
Right.
Like, that's my theory. Like,
Yeah.
you know, like take all the emotions out of it. Like, we're just wired to not exert energy if we don't have to. It's a survival instinct.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with you. And I think one reason it's so hard for people is because the attraction repulsion like switch essentially is actually in the brain stem. So people think about like the amygdala, the limbic system is always scanning for threats. But what reacts even faster than that is like, am I going to go towards this or am I going to go away from it? And then of course we bring in all of these storytelling, the storytelling around that of like, oh, I don't want to do that, but that's probably because it's not going to be useful or it's not efficient or whatever, right? So as soon as I add a because onto it, I know that I'm simply justifying a biological decision that my brain has already sort of fed to me. And when I can look out for that, I can, of course, be like, okay, Hang on, metacognition, what's going on here? But if I'm not thinking about that, then of course, as soon as we get to the end of anything, our brain is looking for the heuristic for the next easiest, least energy expensive thing. So I think you're completely spot on there.
And you said something there, I think that's really important. And it's like we're all asleep until someone or something wakes us up to say, "Hey, open your eyes and look around.
Right.
Open your eyes and look inside to see like what's really happening." Because everything comes down to exactly what you were just saying. It all comes down to that. It has nothing to do with your ability to sell or your ability to run a business or any of that stuff. It all comes down to the fundamental of I'm afraid I'm going to lose my bag. I don't want to lose my bag. And I got all of these chemical rewards for doing all of this other stuff. And I get very little chemical reward for doing the hard stuff until you get there, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I think like tying it into the dopamine reward system is such an important point too, because it feels great when I clear my inbox. Like I get a little like, ooh, I am an accomplished person. I've done something, you know? Or same thing if I like clean up my Notion or whatever, or I don't know, even clean my fridge. But like sitting down and pitching 100 podcasts, that's a real drag. Until it's not, you know? And I think that we can develop this ability to embrace the suck. I can't remember who said that the first time, but if you can develop this almost masochistic ability to be like, oh, this is so uncomfortable, let's do it more. I think that is such a powerful thing for getting more done. But it is definitely an acquired taste, I think.
Indeed. So let's, before we kind of transition here, I have one more question for you. As a fellow traveler, I know we were talking a little bit about this. You once got stranded in Hong Kong with no resources and no means. Like, what, first of all, what happened? Second of all, I see that you're probably not in Hong Kong anymore, so you made your way
Correct.
out.
I
So
did.
give us some.
So that's actually how I got into marketing to begin with. I had gone to school for journalism. I really wanted to work for The Economist. I like interned at NPR. I did the whole thing. And then I graduated into 2008, which was, of course, you know, awful. And the only job I could get, I sent out 200 resumes, and the only job I could get was unpacking boxes in the Old Navy warehouse on the 5 a.m. shift, which really sucked. So I stuck that out for 6 months. And then, of course, in my 22-year-old brain, I'm like, I bet they have jobs in Hong Kong, which is the absolute furthest away from Tennessee, which is where I was. And they do have jobs in Hong Kong, but you need this real pain in the ass piece of paper called a work visa, which I did not get before I left. So I landed there. I had about $200 in my bank account, and I'm like Googling like how to make money online because, you know, 2008. And I found this freelance thing called copywriting, and I was like, dude, this has to be a scam. There is no possible way someone will pay
Somebody's gonna
me.
pay you to write words.
Right?
That's
Like what?
ridiculous.
Like insanity, but also, you know, who am I to turn my nose up at $3.25? So I took it, and they actually paid me, and it was just so addictive because I was like, man, I cannot believe someone will pay me to do something that is so easy and so fun. And so I built a business off of it. I lived abroad as a digital nomad and moved about every 6 months for 10 years. Kind of worked my way back across Asia and Europe, and now I'm back in the States.
That's great. They let you out and
They
they let you
did.
back in.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so, it's funny how, I've talked to so many entrepreneurs over the years, and it's funny how like almost every person's journey has two critical components. Whatever they were doing was not working at all for whatever reason. And then their next action after that is to go Google how to make money online.
I know,
It's
right?
like the 1-2 punch of entrepreneurship. You have
Yeah.
to have just like an absolute mess of a life or career, and then you have to turn to the internet, and then you won't, like, spoiler alert, when you type that in, you're not going to get the answer, but you're going to meet somebody who will point you in the direction of where the answer might be.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like, if you are very, very lucky, you will find your way through the thicket of scams and nonsense and find something that you actually enjoy doing enough to stick with it.
That's awesome. So, speaking of, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, who's a good fit, and how they can connect with you.
So I'm a marketing strategist. You already in my intro, you heard I do work for good people doing hard work that matters. That's my psychographic profile. I am industry agnostic, but most of the work I do these days is fractional CMO work and consulting for clients in like more high context industries. So founders and execs, usually in law, finance, medicine, tech, something to where they're doing something really big and world changing, and they need somebody who can keep up.
Well said. And where can we go to learn more about that?
I am all over the internet. You can find me at boltfromthebluecopywriting.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as Rachel Allen. That's RACHELALLEN. There's a Bolt from the Blue Substack Instagram. And you can also email me like it's the ancient times at hello@boltfromthebluecopywriting.com and I will respond to you.
Wow.
I know.
What a dinosaur.
I know, just throwing my email out like it's 2008.
No, right? Party like it's 2008. At
Yeah.
least don't have like a Hotmail or something.
Right. Oh my God.
Hey, we're
I
gonna wrap
know.
from here. Thanks so much for our guest Rachel Allen for coming on, joining us, and sharing some real good wisdom about how she gets stuff done. You can connect with her and learn more about what she does by going to boltfromthebluecopywriting.com, or you can email carrier pigeon Morse code however you'd like. Whether you're on your morning commute in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, you can download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That's it. Let's get to work.